Alright, time for another Do Not Good video presentation. Irrelevant background images. I installed a new video card, $14, so good and cheap. OBS is still not working quite right. Everything's still a little buggy, but whatever. We'll work it out eventually. So anyway, video. Has to be about a subject. So yes, old fan had a conversation with Corey Anton. So, it's been like 7 years since I spoke to him or something like that anyway. Argued with him or debated with him or whatever you want to call that. It was always some sort of drama. And they almost got into some drama. With just being kind of snarky insulting, I guess, in a way. But there's no way to really evade that, right? I mean, it is an accusation that anti-natalists are making about people who are pro having kids or making living things. And it's a judgment, and it's not a very nice judgment. The judgment is you're basically, child molesters. You're really nasty, awful, evil, stupid, insensitive creeps. So, yeah, I can see why there's defensiveness. My defensiveness is, no, I don't want to kill anything. Yes, that's right. They want to make it into a killing philosophy, a suicide philosophy, and that's not what it is either. So we get defensive, or at least I do. An old fan was very good at not overreacting. And that was an interesting conversation. I guess I'll say nothing new in terms of Corey's, Professor Anton's glib response to the subject of, is it okay to impose? and he's basically saying, well, if you think so. Yeah, he's saying it's up to you. If you want to impose and be a son of a bitch, go ahead. If you want to rape the girl, go ahead. If you're pretty sure she's going to enjoy it, go for it. Because that's all you need. Well, at least be clean, right? Wear a condom, take a shower. Do these little necessary things. So he's basically saying it's okay to have kids if you have infrastructure. If you got money and you can, pay for a psychologist to, keep your kid on the right way, the right road or something. Or, you can pay for its medications, or you can pay for its cancer treatments. Who knows? Then it's okay. Because you're confident you covered what? 1/1000th of the bases you have to cover to be really confident. So one of the most poignant and powerful arguments is the imposition argument. And of course he evades it. He just says you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to call us what we are. He's not in the category, which is also funny. So he defends people as having to have some sort of natural reasons why they have to have kids. And it's built in. You can't, it's like trees want to grow. And somehow people must have, he doesn't live that life. So obviously for him, he was able to navigate a life without finding it necessary to be a kid care for her. He didn't even adopt, so it wasn't like it was something he needed at all in his life. It wasn't something compelling. So even though he knows there's kids that could benefit from his wealth and status, having him as a daddy, it'd be better than the foster care they're in now, even though he knows intellectually that, I have a pretty good life. I'm involved with a bunch of intellectual people, I network pretty good, okay. A kid definitely will be better off with me than where they are now, probably. and yet he doesn't feel compelled, you know, to do anything about it. So not only does he not have any of this natural instinct, none of this natural compulsion, he can't even be guilted into, you know, indulging in the behavior, because frankly he probably understands that, wow, what a drain of my life that would be. I mean, I'm going to have a whole big hunk of my life sucked away from me, doing this nursery school stuff, you know, teaching the basics to some, you know, little kid. I'm going to be doing A, B, C, D, E, you know, and I want to be doing all these fancy words, and I want to be, you know, talking with all these more intellectual people about all these intellectual thoughts and ideas that people had. You know, so it's just hypocrisy, frankly. And everybody's trying to point to some sort of finger of hypocrisy. He's trying to say that we're hypocrites as antinatalists because we can't immediately answer a question like, what's better? You know, killing an 80-year-old or killing a 5-year-old? I've sort of made the argument that, you know, young kids don't have much going on, frankly. You know, before five and under, there's not a hell of a lot going on, except little robotic, you know, kid play stuff. Okay. any real ambition or any real agenda for a life, it really hasn't begun. And, if they don't wake up the next day, you can't say, oh, gee, what a tragedy. Where the older person might have a whole bunch of entanglements in their life and a whole bunch of capacity to accomplish or finish their project. They might be doing physics, and they might have figured out something, and they just need a couple more years to, you know, finish their opus. So something they had been working on for 50 years could be coming to some sort of apex. You can write lots of different stories for these two things, but he says it's just some sort of generic question that you immediately answer because somehow you are more compelled by some sort of nurturing thing that you're going to say, okay, it's more important that the kid live. But, you know, all these are open questions. I mean, this is you could do this stuff with what's worse. I mean, your wife is hanging off the cliff and your daughter's hanging off the cliff. You know, which one do you save? You can only save one. This is, you know, shoving the fat guy off the bridge. The trolley question. So, yes, who knows what the right answer is? I mean, you'd really have to go survey the people you're going to save and survey the person you're going to sacrifice to know the right answer for any circumstances, what you would do. And what you would do would just guesstimate what the best outcome is. I mean, if you could actually know that the 5-year-old was going to be diagnosed with leukemia when it was 7, you know, the question gets a lot easier, doesn't it? And if you knew the 80-year-old wasn't going to do anything else but, you know, knit earmuffs, end up in a nursing home in, you know, 16 months, then you say, So, yeah, the question's answerable, but he wants to be just as reckless, okay, as the procreators. He wants to not think about it very hard. You know, just think about it a little bit. What do I want? You know, what's in it for me? Don't think about all the potential disasters and whether you have any kind of safety net in place in case everything goes all kinds of wrong. You know, and your 14-year-old son ends up being a psycho killer. All of that kind of crap. Are you ready for all the possibilities? So just as sloppy as people are in procreating, he wants to be in terms of being a philosopher about deciding whether we push the fat guy off a bridge. And because I pause, and Amanda pauses, and any rational person pauses in terms of trying to answer the question, he takes that as, oh, there's your doubt. You know, there's the fact that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any real depth to your beliefs. It's sort of a very cheap tactic. And speaking of cheap tactics, he resorts to the old, what's the popular opinion? Let's go, what does the survey say? We asked 100 morons on the street, what they think the destiny of mankind should be. Yeah, great idea. No, really not a great idea. Let them, how do we clean up the nuclear waste problem? Yeah, let them figure it out. Let's go ask Homer Simpson what the right thing to do is. That was, coming from somebody who, has lived a substantial part of his life interacting with people who have spent their whole lifetime contemplating these single questions. I mean, it's probably somebody who spent years, working on the old trolley question. And yet he wants to discount anything that person has learned through that experience of actually spending a lot of time thinking about it and negate it all and say, well, it all doesn't mean anything because the moron who hasn't thought about it at all doesn't even know what the concept is, doesn't even know what the trolley question is. We're going to take his answer. His answer is right. And all the other answers are in competition with this obviously silly answer of what does pop culture say today? Because we know that what pop culture said 200 years ago was moronic. Women are property and people of other, national origins are legitimately slaves. Come on. Too silly. An argument to make. They have a fancy word for it, argument ad populum or whatever. Some sort of crap. But anyway, yeah, he knows that too. He knows all those, all those little cheat little phrases you can use to try to discount arguments, and here he's using the very tactics that could be used against him. It just demonstrates, in a sense, the fact that he is uncomfortable with the subject, that he has to, kind of fling garbage because he doesn't have anything really good to throw. So he has to throw crap. And it is crap. Part of you get the sense that he has some sort of great appreciation for actually people being in bad circumstances. But he just can't let go of somehow it does have a function. The fact that we can laugh at a joke, at Homer Simpson, we can, self-ridicule, find it entertaining to see just how stupid can we be. It can all be some sort of fun. And that even, the agony of defeat can be a, comic relief. It's a real thing on the internet. People enjoy themselves by watching people fail in trying to do something. And fail sometimes quite spectacularly in terms of how painful it must have been. And it's all a joke. It's all kind of funny. What an idiot. So that shows, in my opinion, that yes, he is very glib. I mean, he acknowledges it, but he can't accept it, if you want to say it that way. He's acknowledging that, it really sucks to have your arm ripped off by a wheat combine or something. But it's not something to really worry about. I mean, those kind of experiences just make you stronger or some kind of crap like that. And obviously they get a lot more brutal than that. You just play some St. Jude commercials or something and you get the idea. So none of the conversation, got to what I think is the real ground. So he wouldn't let there be a conversation really about imposition. So Amanda kept trying to force him to acknowledge that, Yeah, that's all you're really doing. You're going to Las Vegas with somebody else's money. It's that simple. I mean, that's procreation is I'm going to take a gambling risk. I'm going to walk up to a row of 30 kids or something with a little handful of straws, and, you know, five out of the 30 straws are catastrophically short. It's going to be real suck, and I'm going to slip those straws into that kid's pocket. And that's the game you're playing. You're saying it's okay. You really don't mind doing it. Okay, to have the little happy kid, whatever that is, actually. I don't know if there are too many of those. You know, they get through their teen years in one piece without some rather deep scarring. For whatever the success story is, you know these... you know, tragedies that will exist. You know, the very sad and the very, very sad and the very, very, very sad. And that's the game. You're saying it's acceptable. You'll play that game with somebody else's welfare. So essentially he's saying, yes, if he had to go inject kids with cancer, you know, because God says so, you know, it's, well, it's what reality forces there to be. That's nature. That's part of the game. And I'm for the game. Because he's pro-game, okay, he's basically saying that, yes, he's willing to be the arbiter of the facilitator. Now, I don't know if he really would have the balls to stand up and, you know, take responsibility for what he is defending in actually having to do that. So it's like the whole meat-eater thing, you know, the argument is, you know, can be made pretty simply. If you really had to go kill Piggy, you know, and whatever, chickeny, and all the other little stuff, if you had to go whack them yourself, you know, maybe you'd have some apprehension. You know, if you had to, you know, cut them open, pull out their guts, and do all this crap, and recognize what you've actually just done by seeing the blood and seeing the, you know, what you've reduced something else to for, you know, a minor benefit, a little chewable. Yeah, a lot of people would be vegetarians because they'd say, yeah, I'll just go eat some potato chips. All right, I'll leave Piggy alone. Maybe I'll give Piggy some potato chips because I like it when, you know, Piggy goes squealy, squealy and spins in circles and is all happy. Yeah, it cheers me up. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hurt anything. So it's a pretty hard, real argument to be made. That this is, you're just pro-life because you're evading taking responsibility for what it actually entails, that you have to actually, you know, take this thing that you're supposed to be, you know, responsible for in your farming, okay, and sentence it to a lot of nasty unpleasantness, you know, for what, money, and for, you know, a meal you could have done without, you know, no problem. You could have eaten something else. So it's a real argument. And even if you don't think you could eat something else, just admit that, wow, it really sucks that you come into the world and you have to torment other feeling creatures to satisfy your needs. I mean, if we were actually born praying mantises and, you know, we were really physically compelled, you know, to do some really nasty shit. The point is couldn't we still recognize it as intelligences that it's a shitty position to be in? That you'd rather not be a praying mantis or a Tyrannosaurus? I mean, like, you'd like to have some other functionality than to, you know, gain your pleasure by running something down and, you know, getting a good grip on it and chomping it to pieces? Yeah. Wouldn't you like that you enjoyed a better game than that? Isn't that kind of a nasty game for you to enjoy? And so as social animals and as, you know, animals that have some biological instincts, very, very little, but you can argue that we are seemingly quite competitive, that is something that grows inside of us, you know, as we grow into your life. And that all that is for this kind of crappy evolutionary purpose of, might making right and, you know, strategies for winning an evolutionary battle that, you know, doesn't really mean anything. It's just best gladiator for the day, best gladiator for the times. You know, how do you survive the Black Plague? Well, you have enough money to leave town. That's, you know, one of the good ways. It's not about your genetics. It's not about whether your body could defeat it. You defeat it through some other mechanism. You know, lots of cheats. And even if it was a war, a real war of who has the best genetic code, you know, who has the strongest hair, who has the, you know, whatever, the most perfectly organized finger joints. I mean, who cares? Is all that shit important? Yeah, kind of nonsense, really. But that gets into the whole other subject. It was touched upon, you know, just this whole idea of, you know, people's values. And, well, that's what the whole subject really is. And, you know, I've made these arguments about, I mean, how smart do you have to be to figure out that whatever there is about a child that should be precious, and he's, you know, and he's using children in his argument, you know, the 5-year-old versus the 80-year-old, or 70, whatever he said, you know, trying to take advantage of the youth and the cuteness factor. And yeah, you can have these arguments about what is, you know, this whole nepotism thing, this whole idea that it has to be my child or somehow the value is different. We can intellectually know, well, where did that garbage come from? I mean, because it's just irrational to think value has something to do, you know, you can somehow place the value on the object and the object doesn't have it intrinsically. No, kids have intrinsic value. And it really just doesn't matter whose kid it is. It just matters that it's a kid and that it needs feeding. It needs nurturing. It needs a good game to play. So it doesn't turn into an asshole. It needs, you know, anti-asshole viral, you know, medicine. It needs, you know, it needs that vaccine. And, you know, you're not going to give it to it because it's not your kid. Only your kids get vaccinated. Their kids don't get vaccinated. I mean, that's just so ignorant, so stupid. And he probably would agree that that's ignorant and stupid. So what's compelling most people? What's driving most of them in their desire to procreate is their own vanity and their own wish to somehow recreate their life and get to relive it in some better, different way. You know, it's all made out of crap. Some people do it just to demonstrate that they could. You know, somehow it proves I'm a real person because I have kids. Yeah. And some people just like playing with babies, I guess, you know. So that's a whole nother subject of, you know, psychological needs that people have where they're comfortable in environments where the rest of the players aren't very smart. And so they get to be the guiding light, or, you know, that's, it's their way of finding self-esteem is in impressing easily impressed beings. Yeah. So anyway, I really haven't gotten to the, I mean, it was a good conversation in the sense that it showed Amanda is ready for the conversation. In the sense that he threw all kinds of curveballs, all kinds of sideways mush, all kinds of knuckleball crap, and she caught it all, and pretty much, and threw it back well, and it was done well. But again, their argument is evasion. They just don't want to deal with the real subject, which is, why do you have the right to endorse a system? It's a game, okay? It's a maze. It's a laboratory experiment. And the fact is that it does have blood all over the walls. The fact is the rats don't do very well. An awful lot of the rats. And they all end up with cancer and death. You know, they all end up having their their game ended, okay? And most of the time, it'll be ended in a bad way. The average is like this big. You know, obviously some people get it worse, and some people get it less. But it's a huge average of crappy, miserable suffering. That all of them are going to win as part of their big fun adventure. You know, to sit there and say, and then when you put the whole context of where we came from, why we exist in this form, and all the animal organisms and all of the attrition, it's just silly. So, I mean, I've made these arguments, and it's disappointing that people are so entrenched, you know, in trying to defend their own life and their family and their mommy and the decisions and all this, whatever the bullshit is, and they can't get to the real subject. And it's just like people who have empathy for animals, they love dogs and cats, let's say, but that's all they do. They love them. They don't really appreciate and respect them. And you know, because the argument can be made that they just create circumstances that just lead to more and more torture. So in loving humanity, you know, loving the fact that human beings can wear silly hats and laugh at each other or something, they can watch a sunset or some kind of little whatever. They can do these little silly things and have little gooey moments, whatever that is, that trivial crap. But anyway, whatever that is. He has some love for this, but it blinds him, okay, to his obligation to be pragmatic and practical and recognize that it comes at way too high a price. And so, you know, I've had this argument with these people who love cats, let's say, but they love them. They really don't like them or respect them or appreciate them because they will, in fact, do things that are so impractical and stupid in the name of not wanting them to be harmed or hurt, but they just don't see it. They'll spend $1 million saving their kid, but they won't, you know, and they won't recognize that all you need to save $100 over there is $10 each. You know, for a tiny price, you could rescue so much that's out there in the ocean. And the only thing you care about is these, you know, the little ones around you, the little ones in the video, the, you know, the personal, tangible contact, which is just demonstrating that, yes, it's just about your affection and your attachment. I know the name of that cat, blah, 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 all that kind of crap. And it really just doesn't have anything to do with anything intelligent in terms of recognizing it's a cat. That's a cat, that's a cat, that's a cat, that's a cat. They're all equal in value. And because those are feral cats, it doesn't mean they're not entitled to consideration. And it doesn't mean that you can just sit there and do something as glib as saying, well, I'll impose surgery, I'll do all these different things to them, throw them back out in the street to eat garbage because I can't deal with the fact that, yeah, they're better off dead. And it's just a fact. They're better off not spending an existence evading cars and eating garbage, you know, and eking out the merest of existences, all to die in some neglectful way in the end, cold and starved, and be eaten by maggots. I mean, you're not doing these animals any favor. And the fact is people can't see it. They can't see something that obvious, that why are you doing this? When the cat's asleep on the operating table to have its surgery, why don't you just let it stay asleep? It really doesn't need to get out there and cure cancer. It doesn't have some great agenda to accomplish. And especially when you're just going to throw it back in some alley, you know, to fight over a cardboard box shelter. Yeah, bullshit on that. You care. You love them. No, you don't. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to be loved like that. Certainly. I mean, it's, you know, do as I say, or I, you know, it's just so, it's so imposing. Okay, so I mean, they spend, you know, I just saw a story where they found like whatever 70 cats in some location, and they spent $40,000 on 70 cats. You know, if they spent the $40,000 rounding up, you know, fertile female feral cats, they would have spared so much more pain and suffering. You know, but they had to save these cats. And all they did was make veterinaries rich, frankly. I mean, it's to not see how, it's just not practical. It's not a solution. You're not going to fix the problem that way. The problem is the breeding pool. You have to make the breeding pool small. You know, and the smaller you can make it, the better. And, you know, you're not going to change the statistical facts, you know, of what happens in the wild. And, you know, one female cat can have 40 kittens. And the facts are that 38 of them have to die before maturity, before they can make more kittens. That's the real world. That's the real attrition. So you're killing 38 kittens for your belief that you've rescued something and saved it, when you really haven't. Anyway. So yeah, these conversations really just have to be, you're just pretending it's not an imposition. So it's clearly an imposition. Creating life, defending life, saying there should be life on Mars, all of that crap. You're basically saying it's okay. You're willing to create the victims. You will go, you know, I've used this analogy so many times, but I won't even impose in subtle ways. So I'm with 10 people, you know, and again, if I'm told right from the beginning that one of the people is going to be horribly allergic to what we're going to go eat for dinner, I'm not going, you know, whether it's Disneyland or whatever we're doing. If somebody's going to have to pay a horrible price for it, okay, is going to be dragged behind the car, essentially. I'm not going. It's not worth it. There's nothing I need to do bad enough to give a kid cancer. There's nothing I'm going to do in my fucking life that's going to be worth those experiences being endured. I don't want to pay for whatever my pleasures are going to be with that high a price, that people have to be killed in a car accident in some slow and brutal and horrible way. They have to be disabled for life. They have to be blinded. All of these horrible things that have to happen. They have to be just crazy, you know, and spend their whole life chasing, you know, fake demons. I'm going to do that. I'm going to force that on some individual, because I'm going to do something that's so special and so wonderful, it's okay to pay that huge price for it. And then all you have to do is be one tiny bit, you know, a little tiny bit smarter to say, oh shit, now let's start adding up what the biosphere is paying. You know, what all the praying mantises are actually doing, what all the destruction, all the harm, all the mayhem that's happening in the ocean. You know, I saw a video of a blue whale getting eaten by a pack of killer whales. You know, and killer whales look all, they look so friendly and happy. But that's nasty business, being eaten alive. And that's the price you're paying. That's the price of your existence, is the price being paid by all of these sentient organisms that not only will die, but some of them will die horribly, and they'll do it without even living a life. Okay, they're just going to go from horrible end to horrible end to horrible end to horrible end. You could look at it that way. That you're sentencing somebody to eternal torture, because you're going to eternally torture things as long as you have living things in this stupid universe. Sentient beings. It's not compatible with logic to say it's okay. No, it isn't. It isn't okay to pay that extraordinary price for the trivial gratifications, for those little days when, you know, you get lucky, you know, and escape the whip. And that's really all your pleasures are. Well, that's probably good enough for a while. Yeah, I could take a pause and such. Yeah, maybe I'll save this and tie them together just in case something went horribly wrong. Alright, back to the regular background anyway. Regular-ish, whatever. See what it is. It will be closer to what it used to be. But anyway, so I was thinking of the imposition argument again and the evasion of it. And so this is the argument from you don't have consent, okay, is the more formal way to put it, okay, that for adult organisms, you convert any kind of imposition into consensual or non-consensual, you know. if somebody's willing to rely on me or depend on me for something, you know, I make a contract with them that I'm going to do something. Well, adults sort of take that stuff seriously. Now, there's a lot of people who don't, you know, think contracts between people mean anything. Okay, you know, there's no cut your hand and, you know, blood brother-y, you know, make a deal, keep a deal thing. For some people, they kind of wishy-washy on that, and there shouldn't be any price to pay. You know, you say you're not going to steal somebody's car, and you steal it, or whatever the thing is. It's somehow it's okay because you had to do it for some reason, that you had to break your word. You know, some people take their words seriously, and some people don't. Okay. And the same goes with this idea of the importance of consent regarding an imposition. So you can just convert it into, okay, let's just make it strictly the gambling argument, okay? I mean, you live, you have neighbors, you have friends. Would you take their life savings without their consent because you feel lucky and go to Las Vegas and gamble with their house and their life, frankly? Would you do that? You know, no, you wouldn't. You'd get their consent. And the argument is, well, somehow, well, we can't get their consent. They're in Europe, and I can't call them on the phone. And the government has put their money in my hands, so the government's endorsing it. You know, so we could make the argument, yes, nature gives you the ability to procreate. Okay, it hands it right to you. Okay, and it makes it fun. Okay, physically. And it's got lots of little bits of, you know, incentive for you to do this thing, okay, in terms of compulsion. And you really like gambling. You could make that the argument that there's, you know, you're evolved to like playing the game, the conquest game, you know, even the reckless sex game. There's all kinds of incentive to be reckless, you know, spontaneous. Don't think too much about what you're doing. Just do it. Because, yeah, thinking about it, it's going to be like, oh, there might be microbes in there. You know, you don't want to think about it too much. So we really love gambling, and, you know, the mechanism, nature, or you could say the government, has now given you the money. So it went to your neighbor's house and took their deed to their house and took all their cash and all their savings and everything they own. And it brought it right to your house and said, okay, it's your responsibility. Now, you can't get their consent, okay? And you feel lucky. And that's all this is about. And we're supposed to have a rational conversation. So an adult, you know, Corey Anton, he's an adult person. And he's going to tell me that there's some kind of ambiguity. There's some sort of confusion about what I'm going to do. You know, what the sensible, responsible, decent thing to do is to say, oh, fuck my compulsions. You know, fuck that I feel lucky. There's no way I'm playing this game. There's no way I'm going to sit there and take this chance. I don't want the responsibility, first off. I mean, the smart person, even as a selfish schemer, says, oh, hell with this. I do not want this responsibility. Their destiny in my hands? I don't want this. I don't want the job of catching babies falling off of tight ropes. I don't want that job. Okay? Juggling babies? I don't want to juggle babies. I don't want anything to do with this bullshit. Okay? Just as a selfish person, you'd say, that's the sensible, pragmatic, get the hell out of here. If that's the game they play here, forget it. I'm not playing. I have to be responsible for their welfare. Fuck it. I don't want that. And he's saying that somehow the good people overcome that fear of failure, you know, and just jump right in. That's what the responsible people do, because they have some sort of wonder and, oh, I have to find out how it'll turn out. Oh, I need to know. Is that it? They need to know whether they're going to fail or succeed? You know, they can't leave it an unanswered question. They have to find out. Oh, am I going to fuck them over or not? Oh, I have to know. Is that the reason here? And again, the purely intelligent argument is, oh, you do not do this. You don't take these kind of crazy chances with somebody else's welfare. There's just no reason to put the baby on the tightrope and pretend this is some sort of good experiment. It's not a good experiment. It's stupid. There's nothing to be accomplished. She gets to the other side and has a piece of bubble gum. I mean, there's no point in it. It's a forced march for no function except to see how miserably people can fall on swords. That's all you're going to accomplish. You're not going to do anything else. Yes, okay, you're going to miss out on cupcake day, you know, at school. Oh, gee. You know, some sort of bullshit. And yes, and you're going to save all of this horrible grief. You're going to prevent. Because you know what happens in Las Vegas. People lose their fucking money. You know that's what it happens. You know, though the four winners you're going to say is worth it. The Olympic champion is worth the paralyzed child. I mean, would Corey Anton answer that simple question? Would he say the Super Bowl champion's going, I'm going to Disney World, is worth paralyzing children? That even one paralyzed child isn't too much of a price to pay by your definition. By my definition, it's too much of a price to pay for a silly game, okay, that frankly you could just play old games from like 1984 and half the morons wouldn't know the difference anyway. You know, you could fool them into just watching old tapes. You know, they can watch their sports porn. Okay, we've got a whole bunch of sports porn on tape. Let's just let them watch the old sports porn on tape, the one that created a whole bunch of failures and a whole bunch of agony of defeats. Let them watch the hours and hours of already filmed disaster. Why force new people to be destroyed, you know, to redo a movie you already have a copy of? It's already been done. We've already been there and done this. Champion crap. Get over yourselves. Get over thinking this is harmless fun. Because it's not. It's a silly risk for no good cause. Oh, shit. So really. So he, as an intelligent person, would say there's some ambiguity. Right now, like I said, the government just walks over here. Right now, the guy says, here's your neighbor's fortune. Here's their future. Okay? And here's a roulette wheel. It's time to play. It'll be fun. And I'm going to play? No. I mean, I might risk my welfare. Okay? I mean, I might say, well, how much would you give me for this thumb? Yeah, can I borrow 10 grand on this thumb? And okay, yeah, if I lose the money, you can take my thumb. Or maybe I'll risk my welfare, but risking somebody else's? I should make decisions for other people about how useful their thumbs are? It's repugnant to think that, you know, intelligent people say, yeah, this is a game I want to play. This is a game I'm willing to play. This is something we should involve ourselves in at all and say that's adequate. That's a satisfactory game to play, this game of life, where we risk other people's welfare all the time in all these imbecilic ways. Mere words. Somebody could say, I can say words in this video that might compel some idiot to go out and do some horrible act against somebody else out of, you know, some kind of perverse, you know, the dog told him so. You don't get this? That everything we do, we can't even know what the right thing to do is because of the ambiguity, not in our understanding, but in the world, the game we have to play. This game is blind. Your good intentions pave your road to hell. I mean, that phrase doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from the fact that that's what fucking life is doing to us all the fucking time. It's creating circumstances where there is no fucking win. There's just, oh, let's see if I can reduce the losses. Let's see if I can minimize the disaster. How much can I sacrifice? I mean, even people like me who, you know, became vegetarian and had to worry about this shit. You know, I had to do some sacrificing. I had to do some inconvenience. I had to feel guilty. I had to go through the process of converting into something else, forcing myself to be something else. Because, yeah, I could figure out it was wrong. And it was irritating, you know, to have to change. And again, the argument is I wouldn't have had to go through that irritating change if I wasn't maturated in a moronic popular culture that's already evil. It's like you addict people to having slaves, right? You raise them with slaves, and then you decide slavery's evil, you know. And now the person has to convert their life into figuring out how to live without them. There was no point in raising them in it in the first place. There's no point in raising human beings in a delusion that somehow life goes somewhere. That's something other than crocodiles all over the place. Crocodile all the way down. When it is, and it all ends in, you know, defeats. The agony, and often the agony, an agonizing defeat. Not just a simple defeat, but an agonizing, slow degrade. A bumping down the mountain. You know, some people never even get to the top of the mountain. They just Sisyphus their way, you know, and then the boulder rolls over them. To be glib and say this is somehow, well, it's, you know, too hard to figure out whether this imposing thing is somehow wrong. Yeah, no, it's not hard to figure out. If you're honest, it's really easy to figure out that imposing sucks. And you shouldn't be doing it, and you shouldn't be defending it. Because it's always fundamentally and systemically wrong and evil and nasty. You shouldn't be controlling somebody else's destiny like that. You shouldn't be playing games with the destiny of feeling things because you have some sort of hope. You know, some sort of, I think it'll be okay. So I'll go ahead and pick up the dice and throw them. Now, we have to throw them because we're alive. So every day I have to decide whether I'm going to talk to somebody or not talk to somebody. I have to figure out whether I'm going to say this or say that. Whether I'm going to, all the time I got to figure out what, am I going to make this video? Am I not going to make this video? Am I going to do something? Am I going to not do something? Because I'm here and I'm alive. But there's absolutely no reason to throw somebody into this circumstance where there is really no good game to play. Because you can, like I said, you can play the best game you could possibly intellectually, pragmatically try to figure out. You can figure out all the odds and increase your probabilities, and you're still not guaranteed success. And that's a terrible game to force somebody to play. Catastrophic failure, regardless of how hard you tried not to catastrophically fail, that sucks. And to defend it, to defend this crap, you know, this shitty game as a playable game, you're just reaching. You know, you're stepping way beyond what the facts can allow you to think this game produces, except satisfied ambitions, greed, avarice, lust. There's nothing admirable in this game. So quit pretending. quit defending, okay, quit enabling the guillotine builders. You know, guillotine is too nice, really. That's too graceful an exit, frankly. The grinder, you know, that's what you're really building and defending. Yeah, so that's probably enough. All right, so we'll call it a video. So it's the video is at the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. I think that's what the channel is called, actually. Yeah, so just look it up. Number 72 should be findable. And like I said, it's if you haven't seen Professor Anton before, I mean, it's interesting to watch just how the word games are played. But if you've seen it before, it's pretty same old in terms of the arguments being made. There's no advancement in the storyline at all. He just has some underlying feeling that because, you know, you know, because the physics of the universe has created substances, that the substances had to become aware of themselves and create an intelligence that could examine being a substance and say, gee, look, we're substances and we have properties. Tyrannosaurus, crocodile. and even the minkies, they're all just thieves. They're all just stealing the energy of other organisms, to propagate a DNA molecule. It's not a pretty story. There's nothing about evolution that's fun or fantastic. It's mass murder, and that's what you're defending. Gratuitous mass exploitation, brutal torture and torment of immature children. You know, the children of sentience. And you're just saying, yes, we can't kill too many of them. You know, we really can't. We can't torment and kill too many. There's no number I can make, right? So if there's, 10 little lion cubs have to be brutally destroyed for each lion that exists, or 10,000 little sea turtles have to be brutally pecked to death and have their guts eaten and all that crap, you know, to have one mature adult, that's okay. I could make the number 100,000. I could make it 100 million. And you'd still find some way to make an excuse for this crap. All these eggs pushed out of the nest, and you don't account for any of it. Yeah, nothing. You don't recognize the brutal truth. It's a bad game, and it needs to be grandfathered out. It's worse than slavery. It's worse than the Holocaust. It's worse than the Trail of Tears. It's worse than the plague. It's worse than all of the icons of horror, the bomb. You know, what happens every day in nature makes Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, trivial in terms of the sentient, the feeling creatures being ground into, tormented mush, weeping, agonized, tormented, Freddy Nightmare-y thingy. And you're just saying, let's do that forever. And I say, that's just too frickin' evil and stupid. I mean, it's evil, and it's really ignorant. All right, so now I think I'm done. Never really done here, of course. So there was one little piece where he said something like, well, you know, he didn't say it at all like this, but he kind of wanted something in writing. And, you know, it sort of does need a little bit of blueprinting. You know, these different concepts, imposition and how imposition is connected to consent, you know, and then consent is connected to humans in terms of integrity, because only something with integrity can understand why I would want consent, why I don't want somebody controlling me. Why would I want to control something else or think it's okay? Then that gets into the word hypocrisy. And then the hypocrisy gets into the duplicity word. And that gets you into all the nationalism and ethnicity crap and race crap and the big one, you know, that nepotism thing, the big one. You know, how you can't even value these things called children in any kind of rational way because you think their properties have to do with whether they're your color or they speak your language or, you know, whether they have your genetic code. Somehow that matters. That changes what the thing is. If it's not connected to me in some kind of way personally, somehow my treatment of it should be different. And it's totally irrational. That can be known to be irrational. I'm not saying you can help it. I'm not saying you can help that you're attracted to some women and you're not attracted to other women. None of us could help that. There's some people that have a pleasant charisma, and some people have just an obnoxious charisma. Okay, but we all can know that if I'm hiring people or I'm going to decide their fate, you know, whether they get to pay their bills or not, I shouldn't be deciding based on my subjective preferences who I want to win. That's so unfair. Oh, it's gross. So, I mean, it's just there's so many flaws, so many corruptions in everything we think and do, you know, in every bit of our emotional character. There is no emotional character. Our emotions are so tainted and diseased and infested, you know, with these kind of evils. And for you not to concede that our nature is pretty shitty, and that humans shouldn't be acting based on it, again, that's not being intelligent. That's just being an enabler for the poor performance of the average, lazy, selfish human. All right, that's probably enough. The vice-blighted human. I include myself, except the only difference being is that at least I'll say I'm an asshole. I'll recognize there's no point in making more of me because not perfect and not skilled enough to play a game good enough. All right, so enough said, I believe. I say that, you know, and I just don't know the answer yet. Is it enough said? Maybe it's not enough said. But if I say any more, maybe somebody's going to do something wacky. So, you know, who the hell knows what the right thing to do is? Because it's a shitty game. Alright, yeah, we'll end on it's a shitty game. It's good enough. Alright, so we'll get rid of that. I can probably get rid of that, too. No, can't. Okay. Well, I can get rid of this one. And then I could get rid of this one. And then you're left with, the illusion. You know, the game Evolution is playing. Which isn't much of a game. All right, so till the next time, and so.